저는 사실
I think it is not good. It feels like it is to show some kind of political result.
South Koreans react angrily to plans for a joint women's ice hockey team with North Korea at next month's Olympics. It's Friday, January 19th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington, and you're part of the program. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, Myanmar is criticized in a new Human Rights Watch report. The U.S. denies any role in the rise of Islamic State in Afghanistan. And Asian manufacturers roll out their new cars at the Detroit Auto Show. That's all on today's VOA Asia. The Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, start 3 weeks from today. Earlier this week, South and North Korea announced plans to have a unified team march in the opening ceremonies and to have a joint women's ice hockey team compete in the Olympic tournament. President Moon Jae-in has said the plan is a good one and could lead to further dialogue, but it has met with some harsh criticism from the South Korean public. As VOA's Brian Padden reports now from Seoul, South Koreans have been generally supportive of North Korea participating in the upcoming Olympics as a way to foster cooperation with its nuclear-armed neighbor, but they are divided over the decision to field a joint women's ice hockey team that critics say places politics over competitive fairness.
According to a recent poll, over 80% of South Koreans welcome the North's decision to send a large delegation to the upcoming 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics in the South. But 70% of the public opposes the formation of a combined North-South team.
I think it is not good. It feels like it is to show some kind of political result.
The decision to add North Korean players to the South's women's hockey team, which has already qualified for the Games, is seen by many as unfair to the players who earn their positions. And the South Korean team hockey coach, Sarah Murray, earlier voiced concern that it could leave the team at a competitive disadvantage.
And adding somebody in so close to the Olympics, it's a little bit dangerous just for team chemistry because the girls have been together for so long.
But for South Korean President Moon Jae-in, the greater goal for this Olympics is to promote peace and eventually denuclearization with the isolated and repressive Kim Jong-un government.
남과 북이 함께
If the South and North form a united team and participate in the Olympic Games, I think it will become a historic moment. Not only Koreans, but people from all over the world will be moved to see such a historic moment, and it will be a great start to resolve inter-Korean issues.
Though most South Koreans disagree with inserting politics into sports, some say fostering peace would be a better prize than a gold medal.
I think they can sacrifice for a better future. And if we can live in peace with North Korea, there's nothing better than that.
During the opening ceremony, South and North Korean athletes will walk together under a special United Korea flag. North Korea will send a large delegation to the South, including a Taekwondo demonstration team, an orchestra to perform, and hundreds of cheerleaders. And skiers from both sides will train at North Korea's Kumgan Mountain Resort prior to the Games. Brian Padden, VOA News, Seoul.
In a survey released Thursday by the South Korean pollster RealMeter, only 4 out of 10 South Koreans said they favored the plan to march together under a flag symbolizing a unified Korea. Tens of thousands of people took to Naver, Twitter, and Facebook to vent their disgust Wednesday night after plans for the joint activities were announced. Others went so far as to complain that the Pyeongchang Olympics have already become the Pyongyang Olympics. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and at the voanews.com website. These are among the top stories trending on voanews.com. U.S. Pacific military chief calls China a disruptive force. China to discuss constitutional amendments, but how far will Xi Jinping go? Australian Prime Minister says Olympic unity won't denuclearize North Korea. U.S. warns Afghans against violence to end rift over ousted governor. And Israeli Prime Minister unveils memorial at Mumbai Jewish Center to terror victims. Expanded coverage of these stories and more is on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Human Rights Watch has released its annual report for 2018, which looks at the state of human rights in more than 90 countries. The organization says events over the past 12 months have shown that political leaders should be more willing to take on what it calls authoritarian populist agendas. As Henry Ridgewell reports from London, Myanmar was strongly criticized for its crackdown on Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine State.
Myanmar is strongly criticized in the report. About 700,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled a violent government crackdown into neighboring Bangladesh.
One of the things that we're calling for in the report is much more concerted pressure to be applied to the Myanmar authorities. So why isn't there a clear call from key governments around the world for the leaders of the Myanmar military, you know, to have targeted sanctions against them?
Human Rights Watch says the clampdown on fundamental freedoms in Russia is at its worst since the end of the Cold War. The report claims that human rights in the United States have come under attack since the election of President Donald Trump.
The attack on the judiciary, the attack on the press, his anti-Muslim ban, the demonization of minorities.
This week, President Donald Trump hosted what he called the Fake News Awards to underline his claim that U.S. media are biased against him. His answer to critics is that he was elected democratically.
No, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
Human Rights Watch says the populist wave that delivered Trump's victory and Britain's vote to leave the European Union ended in France with the victory of Emmanuel Macron in the presidential election. Human Rights Watch praises the European Union for taking on what it terms authoritarian populist governments in Hungary and Poland, but criticizes the bloc for its response to the crackdown on the media and political opposition in Turkey. Human Rights Watch does highlight progress in the fight for gender equality, with the January 2017 Women's March in the United States morphing into a global movement. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia on this Friday morning. The United States reiterated Thursday its resolve to help local forces eliminate Islamic State from Afghanistan. It also strongly refuted accusations Washington was behind the emergence of the terrorist group in the war-shattered country. U.S. Ambassador to Afghanistan John Bass said that the United States had no role in the emergence of Islamic State, or Daesh in Arabic, in Afghanistan.
Let me take this opportunity, since these rumors continue to circulate, to emphatically state that the United States has not brought Daesh to Afghanistan. The United States has not ever supported Daesh, its creation, its horrible attacks in any form or fashion.
The remarks are the first formal reaction to the repeated accusations in recent months by some Afghans, including former President Hamid Karzai, along with Russia, that U.S. troops are aiding Islamic State militants in Afghanistan. In a series of interviews late last year, Karzai called Islamic State a tool of the U.S. The former Afghan president repeated his allegations Thursday in India, saying it was up to the United States to explain the rise of Daesh and extremism in his country. U.S. Ambassador Bass said there was absolutely no way to work out peace or reconciliation with Islamic State in Afghanistan.
The only way to deal with Daesh is through sustained, determined efforts on the battlefield to either kill them or capture them and to remove them, to, you know, prevent them from being able to conduct attacks.
Islamic State operates in Afghanistan under the name Khorasan Province. The terrorist group launched its operations in early 2015 from eastern volatile Afghan regions, mainly Nangarhar Province, bordering Pakistan. Since then, the group has extended its activities to other parts of the country. Islamic State has claimed responsibility for some of the recent deadly suicide bombings in Afghanistan, particularly in the capital city, Kabul. The violence has left scores of Afghans dead, mostly members of the minority Shiite community. U.S. military commanders say former members of the Pakistani Taliban comprise a majority of Islamic State fighters in Afghanistan. Pakistan alleges that Islamic State bases in Afghan border areas are also behind terrorist attacks. Afghan officials deny the allegations and say Islamic State militants receive support from Pakistan. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's that time of year, no, not when the world falls in love, but when automobile manufacturers roll out their best and brightest. Earlier this week, the Honda Accord was named Car of the Year at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. It beat out the Kia Stinger and the Toyota Camry. Asian car manufacturers Toyota, Nissan, and Hyundai rolled out some of their new products this week, with Toyota spotlighting its Avalon sedan with high-tech accessories that help drivers and passengers stay connected. The 2019 Toyota Avalon will be available in four trim packages, including XSE, Touring, XLE, and Limited. The car has two new powertrains, a 3.5-liter V6 and a 2.5-liter four-cylinder hybrid system. Jack Hollis, the group vice president of Toyota North America, says it also comes packed with technology.
A 7-inch multi-informational display shows information like turn-by-turn navigation. A 10-inch head-up display, the biggest in the segment, provides info like engine speed and directions and audio settings. There's Qi wireless charging, a Wi-Fi hotspot, 5 USB outlets, and a mobile device holder.
The Avalon also has the Apple CarPlay standard and can connect with a smartwatch or Amazon Alexa-enabled device. Nissan showed off its new cross-motion concept car, which Nissan's chief performance officer and North American chairman Jose Munoz said demonstrates that company's future design direction.
This dynamic crossover with advanced autonomous drive capabilities represents the start of a new era for Nissan. In fact, it provides a blueprint for what you can expect from our forthcoming CSUV lineup and from future Nissan intelligent mobility-enabled products. These vehicles are the cornerstone of our mid-term plan.
The CrossMotion SUV is a three-row, six-seater with seven digital screens in its cabin. Alfonso Albaiza, Senior Vice President for Global Design, says the CrossMotion offers a cabin that includes interfaces with technology and will be in the forefront as more and more autonomous vehicles take to the road.
You can see how our customers' desire to be connected to their data opens the door to our own form of digital art. The interior space looks like a landscape. The center console symbolizes a wooden bridge connecting two cultures, but also bridging timeless traditions with tomorrow's technology.
Meanwhile, Hyundai introduced new versions of its sporty three-door Veloster. The Korean automaker is introducing the Veloster N, which offers 275 horsepower from a 2-liter four-cylinder engine. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump and Senate Democratic Leader Charles Schumer have criticized Chinese automaker GAC Automobile's plan to sell vehicles in the United States. Both argued that Chinese automotive trade rules are unfair. The North American International Auto Show continues in Detroit, Michigan through January 28. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember, you can get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. You can find us at voanews.com. And let us hear from you on VOA Asia Facebook, or you can email us, voaasia@voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Keith Holmes. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy the day.